Ready, set, go!
Welcome into Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Westwood One. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Wednesday, December 12, 2018, your home for esports and gaming radio. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM, as well as 720 AM and KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we reached out to our social media listeners and asked them to confess which game they keep going back to, even though they know it's utter trash. That discussion is ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today by talking about young people getting into esports. While esports are starting to make their way into high schools this year, there hasn't been much organized play for people younger than that. But an organization founded in 2015 is changing that mentality. Joining me to help break down this important discussion is the Checkpoint XP crew. Robbie Landis.
Moving the payload.
Norris Howard.
Oh my God!
And Joe Sloan.
Check a look.
This is a really interesting discussion because, yeah, you know, like high school seems like it is the proper feeder league to the pros right now,
right.
Especially because your average age for a pro is, you know, 18 and up. I think that having organizations aimed at getting young people into esports is going to be really important. And at the event that we went to with the Renegades, we saw just how many young people are really interested in this stuff.
And there's definitely, you know, a market for it. Every sport out there has little league, you know. Mm-hmm. You can play, Robbie, you played baseball all the way up until you were in high school, right?
I did. Starting from like 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah,
I had a similar experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how young are we talking here? Because when you talk about, you know, kids playing baseball or
t-ball starts at five,
or football or whatnot, none of those have guns in them.
That's fair. So Super League Gaming, the organization in question, they now boast a group of tens of thousands of kids who are taking part in their leagues and tournaments that they're running. And they have competitive Minecraft for ages six and up, effectively.
Oh. How is Minecraft competitive?
That, you know, I'm not going to get into the specifics of how you actually play competitive Minecraft, but there's speed building. There is more like survival mode focused one.
Yeah.
Is there actual combat in Minecraft? Forgive me, I've not spend any time with Minecraft.
You can fight like the creepers and stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, you know, shooting bows and arrows and stuff.
Okay.
That was actually an important question, because as I've been kind of like processing this, like you know, when you look at the esports we have, Dota, Overwatch, like it's very competitive, very combative, but you know, that competition doesn't just have to be, you know, you versus them, right?
Yeah, it doesn't.
And depending on how young you're
race
skewing,
a clock.
Right?
Exactly. See, that was kind of my worry in this. Is like when you go too young, putting these kids into these certain situations. Like at some point, a lot of different concerns pop up. But the idea of like competitive Minecraft, that's kind of perfect.
Right, and even a game like Fortnite, which is aimed at a very young audience, and indeed has a very young audience, does have a kind of acceptable age range too, right? Because there is violence. There
sure.
is guns so, that are a part of Fortnite, even though it's cartoon violence.
Mm-hmm.
There is still guns that are a part of that. So I can understand why that would concern a parent. I'm curious, what games are they active in?
So that's the thing, as they start with the youngest kids, you know, elementary and middle schoolers, they do mainly Minecraft and some Clash Royale, and then as it moves into the older kids, as they get to high school.
What about Rocket League? That seems like it would be perfect for this as well.
Currently, there are three games, Clash Royale, Minecraft, and League of Legends.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, I do think Rocket League would be primed for this, though.
Rocket League would be an amazing fit for this.
I mean, remember when we talked to Scrub Killer, he had started, it wasn't Rocket League specifically, but it was the
predecessor to Rocket League.
He started that as young as like 5 or 6, I think.
Yeah, he did. And I mean, we've already seen their Minecraft championship actually has been featured on Nickelodeon. So it's not like, you know, no one's doing it. They are seeing pretty decent attendance for their leagues. But I think this is super important because as we talk about, we mention it a lot, you know, South Korea, you can be a rock star effectively playing esports in South Korea. But they're scouting potential esports athletes as young as elementary school.
Yeah. And that's important to note, because that I think is a little weird, right? Like, I don't know.
No, it's not. They do it in basketball,
really?
And in football, and in baseball
that
since
young?
Time immemorial. There are kids
elementary
who are,
school.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're, fifth grade, dude, if you grade. Have a, if you have a sixth grader who's 6'5",
that's true. The only point that I ever played organized sports was about sixth grade in middle school. Yeah. Or, no, I'm sorry, I joined in eighth grade. Our football team went undefeated that year, and even I, who was like a, mostly a bench warmer, but had one or two good plays, even had, you know, people who were trying to encourage me to keep playing, you know, going into training and conditioning, and when they told me you got to wake up at 4:30, I was like, nah, forget this. I'm not doing it.
See, I completely agree with that. I had when I got into late middle school, early high school, I started getting real tall and lanky.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the wrestling coach really wanted me to be on the wrestling team. But he's like, yeah, we do practice every morning at 5:30. And I was like,
yep,
stop.
That was it for me. That was it for
right
me in baseball.
Yeah, I'm out.
That's baseball
it.
In the wintertime, you still had to go to training
yeah.
at 4 in the morning.
See, I needed to get really fat to get him off my case. That's how you wound up with this.
I also wrestled
glorious
for,
body.
I actually wrestled for a year, Joe, undefeated. And when I didn't come back the next year, the wrestling coach came to me too and was like, what's going on? I'm just like, I do not have fun doing that.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on News Talk 820 AM WWBA in Tampa, Sports Talk 1080 The Team in Orlando, and News Talk 1060 WIXC in Melbourne, Florida. We're currently talking about Little League for Esports is pretty much what we're talking about here. And I think I really do think that this is interesting, but also a little weird. Like,
but here's a potential issue that I see with it is that, you know, you grow up playing football or soccer or basketball. The rules of those sports don't change very drastically.
Very true. Yeah.
If you're a 5-year old, first of all, before we even get into a discussion about metas changing in individual games, but by the time you're 6 years old and you're playing competitive Minecraft, Minecraft may not be around by the time you're 18.
That's a great
and
point.
And those skills may not be transferable.
Think of the games that were relevant when we were 6 years old and how many of them are still played to this day.
That's true. Almost none. But at the same time, think of how many people today are really good gamers because they were able to beat things like Ninja Gaiden back in the day.
That is also very true. But
stuff's
not
that hard anymore.
Is that still true of people who are 6 years old now, right? Like, if you're growing and building skills on a video game at 6 now in the current video game environment, and like, is that the same as being able to beat Ninja Gaiden back in the day? I don't think
it's
it
not
is
the same.
It's not.
So, of course, you know, certain skills aren't going to transfer, but certain ones are. If you're playing a game, you know, early on, let's say it's, I don't know, Clash Royale or whatever it is, anything that's helping you work on APM and things like that, being able to process multiple things, typing with one hand, mouse movement with the other.
Okay.
Those are skills.
Sure.
Teamwork is a major thing in communication.
But who has the emotional maturity at 6 to be like,
well, but
yeah,
that's part of what
let's
sports,
do some serious
but
team
that's part
building.
Of what sports are supposed
yes.
to teach
well,
you.
But how as a parent, hang on, no, real question, how as a parent are you supposed to supervise your kid getting online to be able to build those team building skills in an organized way? This is where this organization comes in and is really important for being able to funnel all of those things.
Yeah, I think what you really need is, like you say, someone like Super League who is putting together these I remember playing, you know, basketball as a little kid, you know, 5-6 years old. I had no idea what I was doing, but I could at least listen to my coach and understand, okay, these are the rules of the game and I need to be able to express
Nate was talking about was something that's very important in terms of like the ephemeral nature of gaming today. When you played Ninja Gaiden, your skills helped transfer because they were making platformers for the next 25 years.
Yeah.
So the concept of a platformer did not change. Maybe it'll be that way with Battle Royales down the line, but as it currently stands, gaming changes so much and so quickly that a lot of those skills can become non-transferable
sure.
as time goes on. I mean, we're talking about Fortnite, a game that technically isn't out of early access that, you know, if it falls off in 6 months, could just not be around.
Right. Then I guess I would ask you this. Why does it work in South Korea?
I think it works in South Korea because what they established their esports programs on were genres that were already established and continue to be sort of at the forefront of esports for that decade. So you had RTS and MOBAs. Those pretty much had a lot of skill overlap. And then you had Oh, you know, the apparatus that continue to exist.
If we're talking about at 5 or 6, though, like the skills that they're learning in a specific game isn't going to be as important as the overall skills, such as teamwork, learning how to conduct yourselves. How young were you guys when you played sports? Because if you go and watch an actual T-ball game, those kids don't know what they're doing.
No,
they're just running.
It's hard to watch. You're right. I think if we can get to a point, though, where, you know, kids have a concept for playing esports competitively, even before they get to high school, it just makes the high school varsity experience all the better. And it makes them all the even better going into college from there and to the pro scene after that.
I'm not saying that I'm poo-pooing it or I think it's a bad idea. I'm just saying I think there may be some unforeseen consequences down the road. And for as much as you need to be good at a select group of things, I don't know, maybe some of those skills will be lost.
So overall, let's look 2 years down the line, right? 3 years down the line. Like Nate is saying, you know, Minecraft is probably, you know, not going to be a major esport in what?
No, it's a good entry point. I mean, that sort of thing. The Lego building is always a good entry point just into gaming in general.
Right. What games could we start seeing a transition to? Like, League of Legends is great, but it requires, first of all, I don't know that I'm comfortable with any group putting League of Legends on kids that are, you know, 7, 8, 9 years old. That's not exactly an environment I want kids that age getting into.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I think you could
maybe Smash.
Smash. I was just about to say, honestly, anything FGC, because okay, that's insular. Voice chat is not that prevalent in it. So, you know, you really could have a lot of situations where they could get in the game learning online against people who are better than them. And it be relatively safe from, you know, their very young ears.
Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Do you know someone looking to get into competitive gaming? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Ahead next, we reached out to our social media followers and asked them what games they keep playing, even though they know they're complete trash. We'll share our answers and get your responses coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily from Beasley Esports XP and Westwood One.
This is Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointRadio.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. Make sure you visit our website over at CheckpointXP.com so you can subscribe to the Checkpoint XP podcast. Robbie, what's this week on the podcast?
We may all be excited about Detective Pikachu, but Hollywood wants to remind us that video game movies can still be bad, a la Sonic.
Subscribe and download free on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and the Westwood One Podcast app from Westwood One Podcast Network. Everyone's listening. You can also follow us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram so that you can respond to our weekly social media question. This week, we asked what your trashiest game that you keep going back to is. But before we get to your responses, I gotta know from the room, what's your trashiest game that you can't help but love? And joining us to be the voice of the people once again is Sarah Skopic. Thank you so much, Sarah, for joining us. Appreciate having you here and to be the voice of the people. So let's go around the room, starting with actually Sarah. What is the trashiest game that you keep going back to? Like, what is the worst game? Objectively, you know it's terrible, right? But you keep playing it.
I am ashamed to admit this, but I played this game since I was a child and continued on through, but I keep going back to Dynasty Warriors every single time.
Yes! That counts. That definitely counts.
It
is trash.
I feel
Dynasty
like it's fine.
Dynasty Warriors is trash. Let's be fair.
I feel like it's fine so long as you recognize that it's trash, because there's definitely entertainment value there and just
absolutely
taking out legions of people.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That might be the trash game for my whole family. Like, everybody in my family plays Dynasty Warriors.
Yeah, I remember when I was younger, that was pretty much the game that I was kind of allowed to play, even though I was only 10 years old, that was violent at the time.
It's not even violent.
It's really not.
You
slaughter
hordes of people.
But there's no blood or guts in it.
Yeah,
so
I know.
My mom didn't care.
But it's like you don't even feel
Dynasty
it.
After Dynasty Warriors 4, you could kill the horses too.
I know.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's true. That's dark.
So, Norris, what about you?
All right, since Sarah actually took mine, I have to think of one that I haven't gone back to in a while. out, but I used to for many years. And that was a game back on PS2 called The Bouncer.
Ooh,
I remember The Bouncer.
What a stinker.
It was terrible.
It's really bad.
But it was the Mario Party for my group of friends in high school.
You know,
like, we didn't play Mario Party. We just came over and played Versus Mode and The Bouncer.
So did you like Square Enix's remaster?
There's a remaster?
Oh, they renamed it The Quiet Man. It's the same plot, isn't it? It's just with a mute protagonist.
Pretty much.
They made this game once and it was terrible then.
That's so mean.
Square Enix. Joe, what about you?
All right, so mine's actually going to be very recent. I've started playing Pokemon Shuffle on my phone. It is It is an objectively garbage puzzle game
with Bejeweled?
A Pokemon skin. It's not even as good as Bejeweled. It's way worse than Bejeweled.
It's the literal worst.
It's terrible. It's like super predatory with its microtransactions.
Is that what I saw you playing on your phone earlier?
Yeah, it is.
I thought that looked like a Pokemon, but I was like, I didn't want to embarrass
the
you.
The graphics aren't good.
No, they're not.
It's super predatory. It's just awful.
It's worse than Pokemon Go.
It's way worse than Pokemon Go. Well,
is it worse than Pokemon Adventure? Or what was
that?
It's
way worse than Pokemon Adventure.
Okay, all right. Robbie, how about you?
I'm actually having trouble here. I mean, there have been a lot of trash games that I've sank some time into. Final Fantasy Record Keeper, Pokemon Go, sure. But there's not really anything that once I quit it, I go back to it. So I guess out of the games that, I mean, if you guys can think of one that I do, by all means, throw it out there.
Final Fantasy VII.
That's not a trash game.
That's not a trash game. That's a classic.
I even got to worry about defending myself.
I was I hate Final Fantasy VII. I can't even say it's a trash game.
Yeah. I hate it.
If I were to pick
it's
anything,
easy.
It would probably be, I mean, as of right now, Fallout 76.
I mean, I can't argue. See, like, that's what I was going to say.
Okay,
because
Robbie.
I keep going back to Fallout 76 again.
Even when you spend 30 minutes fighting a Scorch Beast Queen, spend all your ammo, then it kicks you off the server. And you just boot it right back up.
Yeah. I know. All right. So, voice of the people, Sarah, what were the people saying on our social media page?
Unsure if controversial, but Jean-Paul says League of Legends from Facebook.
League of Legends isn't trash. The community can be.
That's fair.
Yeah, that is fair. I don't know that I would consider League of Legends trash, although
it
depends.
Most popular esports
title of all
time.
It depends on your own skill. If you're trash at League of Legends and you keep playing,
it will be trash for you.
Yeah.
Yes.
See, like, that would be like PUBG for me. I'm trash at it, and I objectively have a terrible time every time I play, but I keep playing.
That's fair. That's actually a good one for us, too.
Yeah.
Also from Facebook, Steven says, every few years, I always go back and mess around in EverQuest for a few weeks.
Why?
What year is it?
Jeez.
Oh, man.
Dark Flux cheering 100 bits at our Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp to say Yu-Gi-Oh! Games. Dark Flux, my opinion of you just plummeted.
They're all garbage.
That's pretty bad.
That's not good.
Especially if it's the one that you can just put on autoplay and it plays for you.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening actually live at our Twitch page over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. You can join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern for live episodes of Checkpoint XP Daily. They end up becoming our nationally syndicated radio show. So I really appreciate everyone listening live over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. We are currently talking about our trashiest games that we keep going back to again and again. Sarah's being our voice of the people. So go ahead, Sarah.
Checking over at Twitter, Kevin suggests Bubble Bath Babes or asks, is that the wrong kind of trashy?
What is that? Kevin, what is going? Ew, that's
that's a no-no.
That's gross. Weird.
David also at Twitter says, I have always had trouble seeing the appeal of Skyrim. I've tried playing on PC, PS4, and recently in VR, and I just can't get into it. I almost fell for the Switch version. No idea why I keep coming back to it when I always come to the same conclusion. This game is not for me.
What?
But
Skyrim is great, though!
You can't... This game is not for me. That's not the answer to the question.
Yeah, that doesn't equate to trash.
Get it together.
Come on, buddy.
Maybe for you, just for you, though.
Going back to Facebook, Brett says FF11, hashtag dat love hate.
I can relate to that.
Yeah, as someone who keeps going back and forth on that one,
it's outdated. It's not trash.
It's kind of trash.
Have you played on the official servers lately? Yeah, it's kind of garbage.
Also back on Facebook, Michael says, anytime I buy a Call of Duty game.
That's fair.
Almost everyone who plays Call of Duty games like, this game's trash, but man, is it fun to play.
Yeah, that's my opinion
it's
of
the
every
Dynasty Warriors of shooters.
Every Call of Duty
little
game I've
differences
ever played.
Every year, the that's same true. Trash, you just run an SMG and slide everywhere.
Also, Chris suggests NES Friday the 13th game.
All right. Yeah.
So,
well,
Joe,
that is certainly a trash game. Why would you keep going back to it?
Is it maybe just that he never beat it, and it's like that one mount? It's like Everest because it's there.
Okay, I wholly accept that he never beat it.
I feel like our audience grossly misunderstood this question.
I think they did too.
And instead of, they're just given a bunch of games that they don't like.
Yeah, exactly. All right, but we're going to have to leave it right there. Thanks for joining us for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website at checkpointxp.com for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird Atlas. Find more at weirdatlas.com. Checkpoint Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Corpus. Big thanks to Sarah Skopic over at the news desk. And of course, my co-hosts who pull double duties as producers for Checkpoint. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Radio, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointradio.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.